did that when I took services. All right, morning, guys. How's everything going? Got a lot of people gone this morning, huh? Everyone must be enjoying a good Memorial Day weekend. If we have a few more people in morning service, I may go over this again. But just one more thing on Harold Camping. The guy that said the world was going to end on May 21st. I've kind of found that whole, that whole sequence to be kind of amusing. But California preacher Harold Camping has admitted that he got the date of the rapture wrong. Yeah, he did. he predicted that it would take place revised the date to October 21st. And so I clicked to the link and I read the article. It's just kind of interesting. He's kind of an old guy, and it's kind of interesting to sit there and listen and watch. And I watched this clip of him on video, and of course, he said that we were going to be raptured out of here on May 21st. And of course, when that didn't happen, he had all kinds of problems. Except he's trying to cover his tracks now in an interesting way. And on the video that I watched of his interview, he said this. He said, it was to be understood spiritually, not physically. Yep, the May 21st date was to be understood spiritually, not physically. And yet, the sense of it is still the same, that judgment has come. The world is now under judgment where it was not prior to May 21st. That's pretty good, isn't it? So we're under judgment now in a way that we were not prior to May 21st. Spiritually, this is the part that I really enjoyed. Spiritually, there is a big difference in the world. Did you notice a big difference? Stephen Harold Caribou. Spiritually, there's a big difference in the world that we can't detect at all with our eyes, but we can know from the Bible. When we look at it spiritually, we find that He did come. There is no new date. We have already been talking that that the end of the world is October 21st, 2011. And then he had this little five-month thing, and that's when he thought the rapture was going to happen. So I just thought you guys would be kind of pleased to know that, the May 21st, that the Lord really did come, and it's spiritual. We just can't detect it, but that on October 21st, we're goners. So, amen. I hate to say this, but I've lived in California when I was young, not when I was old enough to even be concerned with politics, but anything can happen in California. Anything can happen in California. All right, let's see. Another one. every now and then, and Lori coming back from China, welcome back and glad to see you back in the States and looking forward to your husband coming back. And you always think of, Chinese government being very oppressive and communistic and how terrible it would be to live over there. I get to thinking about things and the government and just the way that our country's gone the last few years. And I think I've told you my latest take on the government and government policies is simply this. I cannot even own a dog without the government telling me what I have to do with the dog. I've told you that before, right? I've mentioned that to you. Well, I found this article. And I thought this was kind of interesting in Hopewell Township, New Jersey. And I figured I'd do this one in Sunday school here. But Hopewell Township in New Jersey. A New Jersey town has adopted an ordinance that regulates when chickens and roosters can be in the same pen together. Yes, roosters must show that they're disease-free. And they better not crow about being in the chicken coop. Hopewell Township residents can have up to a half a dozen hens on a half acre lot. And the roosters would be allowed only 10 days a year for fertilization purposes. Mature roosters are not allowed because they are too noisy. And any roosters that crow too long can be banned from the property for 2 years. You get that, guys? We now have we now have governments telling us when we can have, what, you know, chickens and roosters, and I don't know. We're, maybe Harold's got something. I'm hoping he's right, because I don't know. At some point, it's going to get to be too much, right? We're going to have to move to China for freedom. It's a scary thought. All right. I'd like to take a little bit of time this morning, just go over a quick lesson. You know, I always say that, and I don't know how quick it's going to be. It never seems to wind up the way that I anticipate it to. But so we'll either be out of here by 10:15 or 12:15, one of the two. But just like to take a little bit of time this morning, in light of a lot of things that, you know, that we see going on in our lives, in our church, in the world, and just things that we run across. And brethren, it's good every now and then to just sit back and kind of remind ourselves of some of the basic Christian principles that we ought to be adhering to and that we ought to make a part of our character. And if you will, open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And I don't know, brethren, I don't know, we're mortal and we're sinful and we have a fallen nature, and I was listening to the program on the other day on the radio just about, it was actually about genetics and how that, that the genetic makeup of human beings is continually getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And they were talking what the genetic makeup must have been like back in the days of, you know, Adam and Eve, and it was probably, you know, we hadn't had a lot of the mutations that we experience now, and there's probably something to that. You know, there probably really is. I mean, we seem to be continually getting worse and worse in just about everything that happens in life. And if you look in 2 Samuel chapter 15, go down to about verse 10, and we're going to read a familiar passage and a story that of somebody that you're familiar with. But verse 10 says, "But Absalom sent spies." Am I in the right place? Yeah. "But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom had sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was afar off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee to go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place the Lord, my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or in life, even there also will thy servant be. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you once again on a Sunday morning, Sunday school, and just ask you to just open up some things out of the Word of God. Father, there's so many things in here that occur over and over, and so many things, Father, that we need to take and instill in our own character. I pray that what we go over would be a blessing. And Father, you'd have your way in our lives because of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you know the story of Ittai the Gittite. Most of you know that this is Brother Stephen's favorite character in the Bible. And, you know, got to looking at this and just, again, seeing some different things that that went on. And in 2 Samuel 15:21, Ittai answers King David, and he says, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely at what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or in life, even there will thy servant be." Now Ittai steps up to the plate, so to speak, and demonstrates a trait that Absalom, David's son, is completely void of, and he wouldn't realize it if it fell in his lap. Ittai steps up to the plate, and guys, what he demonstrates is just simple faithfulness. Ittai steps up and demonstrates faithfulness, and most everyone here knows. I'm sure I'm not looking at all the audience, but knows that that we're saved by faith, and our faith is a great source of confidence and strength for us. And of course, in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." But I'm not talking about faith necessarily this morning. I mean, we know what that is. I'm talking about the simple characteristic of faithfulness. Faithfulness. I mean, here you go into this this scenario, and one of the first things that you have happening is you have Absalom, David's son rising up against his own father. Because he's got his own agenda, he's got to do what he wants to do, and he sees an opportunity, and he's going to rise up and take this opportunity, and he's going to conquer life, and he's going to be the captain of his own ship. Listen, Absalom steps up, and Absalom has got no regard at all for faithfulness. No regard at all for faithfulness. I mean, I'm sure that David wasn't the perfect father growing up, but I tell you what, I would venture to say it would have been a lot better growing up under David as a father than a lot of other people. Amen? And Absalom steps up as soon as he gets the opportunity, and he goes and stabs David in the back. No faithfulness. And yet you have this stranger that comes in, rides in, has only been there about a day or so, and steps up and takes a look at David, and he recognizes something in David. And David's getting ready now at this point to flee because he's having problems with the kingdom and things are falling apart. And David decides he's tired of the fighting, right? He's tired of what's been going on and his family's being ripped apart. And David steps up and says, "Ittai, just take your men and stay here and serve Absalom. I mean, just serve him." He says, "Why should you go? Hang out in the wilderness and tarry with me. You just got here the other day. You know what? It'll be a lot easier for you if you just stay." And Ittai steps up to the plate, and listen, Ittai sees something in David. Ittai sees something in David that he recognizes is worth following. And brethren, Ittai, a stranger in Israel, steps up, looks at King David, and basically looks at him and says, "You know what, King? I'm going to be faithful to you no matter what. No matter what." And brethren, too many of us as Christians, too many Christians, much less lost people out there in the world, too many Christians lose the whole concept and the whole idea of faithfulness. Faithful is... is strict or thorough in the performance of a duty. It's true to one's word and promises and vows. It is steady in allegiance or affection. It's loyal. It's constant. Synonyms, true, devoted, staunch, constant, loyal. Faithful implies a long-continued and steadfast fidelity to whatever one is bound to by pledge, duty, or obligation. Faithfulness. Just simple faithfulness. Absalom was completely lacking in faithfulness, but Ittai steps up to the plate, a military guy, and Ittai displays a faithfulness that goes beyond, beyond just, I mean, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. One of the most tragic events that happened during President Reagan's presidency was the Sunday morning when the terrorist bomb hit the Marine barracks in Beirut. And during that event, hundreds of Americans were killed or wounded as they slept. And many of us can still remember that event happening. In fact, I was in the Marine Corps when that happened. And a few days after that tragedy, Marine Corps Commandant Kelly, I remember him as being Commandant, Marine Corps Commandant Kelly visited some of the wounded survivors in the hospital in Germany. And among them was a young corporal named Jeffrey Nashton. And he was severely wounded in the incident, and he had a lot of tubes sticking out of his body, and he was lying there. And he was unable to talk, but he was lying there in the hospital, and he had all these tubes out of his body, and he had been, he'd been wounded pretty bad. And the commandant of the Marine Corps, General Kelly, walked up to his bed, and this young corporal, struggling to move, and you could just tell his body was just full of pain. He motioned for a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote a brief note and passed it back to the commandant. And on that slip of paper were two simple words, and that was, Semper Fi. Semper Fi. The Marine Corps motto, always faithful. Always faithful. This this young corporal here, basically summed up in two words in the Marine Corps motto, brethren, what you and I ought to have for our Lord Jesus Christ and for our Christian walk and for our Christian character. He said, always faithful. I remember learning that in the Marine Corps in boot camp and realizing, you get quizzed on everything. You get tested on everything. And one of the things that you learn in Marine Corps boot camp is, what's the Marine Corps motto? And at the time, as a young teenager going into the service and going through boot camp, I mean, you had to remember how many pounds was the M16, right? What is the M16? I don't know if I can remember, right? It's a lightweight, gas-operated, semi-automatic, automatic shoulder weapon, something like that. Help me, Steve. Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? See, he forgot too. But you had to remember all these different things. You had knowledge tests. And one of the things that we had to remember was always faithful. Semper Fi, the Marine Corps motto. And that went along with 1,000 other things that we had to learn and had to memorize. And as I look back, and as I grew older, and as I hopefully gained a little more wisdom and insight into this, the world and people and human nature, that motto, always faithful, runs a lot deeper than what it seemed like when I first learned it back in Marine Corps boot camp. Brethren, there's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said for someone actually being always faithful. I mean, that young Marine lying there in that hospital bed, he looked up after having sacrificed nearly his life. And he sits down, and what comes to mind when he can't even talk, what comes to mind, he writes out on a piece of paper the Marine Corps motto, always faithful. You know what, brethren? The Lord wants Christians like that. The Lord wants Christians like that. Now, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and really that didn't cross my mind when I went through that illustration. I didn't think about it until later. But not only do we need those type of people in the service and defense of our country, but brethren, faithfulness is something that we ought to display as Christians. I mean, if a Marine Corps corporal can adopt that attitude after having gone through the bombing in Beirut and hand that piece of paper to the commandant, what do we owe our Lord Jesus Christ? How much do we endure for him and still with the attitude be able to sit up there and if we could, on a piece of paper, write to the Lord Jesus Christ, Semper Fi. Semper Fi. Brethren, I know that you had faith when you got saved. And there's nothing's going to change yet. We don't understand eternal security and we understand all those things. And, I know that on a day-to-day basis, you think to yourself, yes, I have faith that God will get me out of this trouble. I have faith that God will take care of my problem. I have faith that everything will be all right because I know in the end I'm going to get raptured out of here eventually and God's going to take me home to heaven and life will turn out all right. But there's a difference between having faith and being faithful. You can have faith and not be faithful. What does it take to be faithful? What does it take to be faithful? And I tell you, the first thing, guys, the first thing that it takes to be faithful is just simply this. It takes a proper attitude. It takes a proper attitude. Now, you think about that corporal Nashton, that young Marine, like I said, lying there in bed. And, he steps up, and he's not worried about, am I going to live? He's not worried about, am I going to lose one leg or both? Right? Is my left arm ever going to work again? Will I ever walk? He's not worried about any of that stuff when the Commandant of the Marine Corps comes up to his bedside. He steps up, and the first thing that's on his mind and what he pens down on that piece of paper is, Commandant, I don't care what happens. I don't care how bad it gets. Our motto is always faithful, and that's what we're going to be. That's amazing. You know what? That's an attitude that was in him that took hold deep down in his character. And brethren, that's what it takes for us to be faithful. Listen, being a Christian is not just a matter of, oh, praise Jesus, yes, I got saved, now everything's grand and life's going to be wonderful. It's a lot more than that. I mean, you learn about salvation by faith, and you learn about grace, and you learn about mercy, and you learn about getting your sins forgiven, and all that's wonderful, and all that's great, and all that is, that's why we're here, and that's why we're not burning in hell, and I don't mean to downplay that. But brethren, once we get that stuff, once we have that salvation, once we know what Jesus Christ has done for us, listen, there's an expectation that we turn around to the one that made it possible for us and that we display some faithfulness to him. And that we adopt an attitude as Christians that, you know what, no matter what I get taken through, no matter what the Lord allows me to endure, no matter what path the Lord takes me down, no matter where that leads me, no matter how bad things get in life, you know what? I need to be able to lie on that hospital bed with all the tubes sitting out of me, and before I even ask if I'm ever going to walk again, pen the words, Semper Fi, and hand it back to my commandant. Always faithful. Having faith is great. Critical part of being a Christian. But it's not the same as being faithful. It's not the same as being faithful. And sometimes we fool ourselves and we get to thinking, because I have faith, I'm faithful. And that's not necessarily the case. Listen, what does it take? What does it take to be faithful? I'll tell you what it takes. It takes a proper attitude. Some people come to Christianity and they think this. They think, well, you know what? This Christianity thing, it's a good enough path for now. I'm at that stage in my life where I need a little bit of religion and, you know, it can knock off some of the rough edges. And so for them, it's kind of, it fills a little void. It pacifies their conscience. It makes them feel like they did God a service. And coming to church and being a part of a church and praying and, you know, learning about the Bible and, you know, trying to conduct your life, you turn over a new leaf, and it's not really a part of your character. It's just, it's a convenient outlet to pacify your conscience for a while. Brethren, that's not faithfulness. That's not faithfulness. A lot of people come through the doors of the church, and they know they need something, and they've tried booze, they've tried drugs, they've tried everything else they could think of on the outside. And so the next thing in the chain of things to try is, I'll try God for a while. And praise the Lord for that. I mean, if that's what got you in the doors, if that's why you're here, praise the Lord for that and thank God that it got you to the right place. But brother, it needs to be a lot more, it needs to be a lot deeper than just, I'll just try this for a while and see if this will cure my problems. Sometimes as old Christians, we forget why we're Christians. Sometimes as old Christians, we forget why we're Christians. Listen, in order to be faithful, it takes a proper attitude. I mean, a future Marine, I remember being in high school, looks at the military and says, I want the best. I want to be a part of the best. Right? And I understand there's a lot of pride involved in that. you're right, there certainly is. But he looked at that and he says, I want to be a part of the best. And then he goes in, he joins that the Marine Corps, and he goes through boot camp, and he comes out the other side of graduation, and he gets, for the first time, to be called a Marine. Hey, listen, you know what? When we walk through those doors, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, you know what we're getting? Brethren, we're getting something that's better than anything else there is out there. We're getting something. There is nothing better than the Lord Jesus Christ out there. Not even the Marine Corps. Brethren, you know, what does it take? What does it take to be faithful? I'll tell you what it takes. It takes a proper attitude. And when you and I start pondering this whole Christian life thing, when things get rough, when things get, you know, to going kind of poorly, and it seems like everything's falling apart, you know what? We got to sit back and we got to realize, what is it that we're a part of? Brethren, we're a part of something in Jesus Christ that can never be outdone by anything else. And you know what? If you forget that, or if you don't pay enough attention to that, or if you let your attitude, you know, kind of fall away from that fact, and you forget just how good the Lord Jesus Christ is, you're not going to be faithful. You're not going to be faithful. Because you're going to be looking for something better. You're going to wind up going through this life and you're going to be dissatisfied. Well, that's not good enough for me. I didn't get what I wanted. And your attitude is going to start getting worse and worse and worse. And the worse your attitude gets, listen, the less faithful you're going to be. The worse your attitude gets, the less faithful you're going to be. It takes a proper attitude to be faithful. Listen, we need to be convinced that Jesus Christ is invincible. I mean, I know we know that. But we really got to know that. We need to be convinced that when we go to that book, when we go to that Bible, when we come to Sunday school or we come to preaching service and somebody's up here preaching that, listen, the words that are coming out of that pulpit, the words that are coming out of that book have the power to conquer anything else that's out there in that world. We've got to have the proper attitude about who we are and what we're all about. That young corporal lying there in the bed, you know what he was when he was lying there, even with all injured and, like I said, full of tubes, and who knows if he's going to die or lose a leg or if he's going to be able to walk again once it's all said and done. You know what? He had the confidence and he had the attitude that I'm a part of something great. And that got him through what he needed to get through. See, I'm a part of something great. When I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, I look at what He did for me, I look at that and I say, you know what? I'm a part of something great. Not because of me, but because of what He is. And if you're going to be faithful, brethren, if you're going to be faithful, you need to remember that. You need to remember that the service to our Lord is the supreme sacrifice that we can make in our life. That is what it's all about. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, a little bit later in the book, David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. A third part of the people under Ittai, the Gittite. Now back in 2 Samuel chapter 15, Ittai shows up on the scene. And he's just riding into town. And he makes a decision that changes his life. He decides to be faithful. And a couple chapters later, here he is. He's over a third of the army of David. Faithfulness. Brethren, faithfulness. Listen, if you lose your attitude about what it is you're serving and who it is you're serving and what it is that we're here for and what we're all about, it's easy just not to show up once in a while. And then it's easy just not to show up a little more often. And then it's easy to make showing up the exception, not the rule. And then before you know it, we haven't seen you in months. Why? Because you let your attitude slip. You forgot what it was that you were all about. I mean, it's easy to do because of everything we face in life. I understand that. There are problems you face in life that are very real and they distract you. And listen, you know, there is no easy answer. But brethren, the problems that we face in life don't take away from what the Lord Jesus Christ is. In 2 Samuel 18, you notice that David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, a third part under Abishai, and a third part under Ittai. Little while down the road, as you guys know, Joab changed his attitude about David. And next thing you know, Joab's dropped out of the race. And he's lost faith in David. He lost his faithfulness. He lost the vision of who David was. And I know there's some things that happened along the way, but the bottom line is Joab ran into some troubles in life that he let change his attitude. And then Joab fell by the wayside with Adonijah. And he actually turns and pulls an Absalom with Adonijah. From one of the top three, Joab, one of the top three generals. A little while later down the road, he's lost it all. He let his attitude slip. He lost his faithfulness. And he betrayed his king. He betrayed his king. What does it take to be faithful? I'll tell you what it takes. It takes a proper attitude. And the next thing that it takes, folks, next thing that it takes is it takes proper actions. Listen, we need to make sure that our actions convey, you know, our dedication. I mean, who are we really? What are we all about? Why are we here? You guys come out Memorial Day weekend. You could have been on a picnic. I know technically it's still May, and that's not, you know, a great thing with Brother Stevens, but you could have been on a picnic, right? You could have been somewhere else. Why are you here? Why are you here? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Now, again, I'm not going over anything, guys, that you don't already know. But, brethren, we need to remember this stuff. 1 Samuel chapter 26, take a look down in verse 5. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of the host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with thee." So David and Abishai came and told the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, "God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him a second time." And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" And David said furthermore, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go." So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. So here you have, you know, a little bit earlier, you have David and Saul going back and forth at things, and we're talking about faithfulness, and we talk about you need a proper attitude. You need to have the proper attitude if you're going to have faithfulness. And the second thing you need, guys, you need the proper actions. David steps up, and David's got David's got the ability now to kill Saul and take over the kingdom. And this passage, very familiar, you guys are very familiar with it, but David steps up, and listen, David is interested in doing what's right, not necessarily what's most beneficial for him, or seemingly most beneficial for him at the moment. Folks, you got, you know, if you want to be, listen, if you want to be faithful, you're going to have to step up to the plate, and you're going to have to make some right decisions. Now, everybody knows that in theory. Everybody knows that in their head. Everybody knows, oh, yeah, I've got to make the right decisions. Oh, I want the Lord to bless the decisions that I'm making. Yes, I've, you know, I believe that the Bible has all the answers. And then they get involved in the entanglements of life and the realities and the ugliness of some of the situations we get ourselves into. And you know what you wind up doing? You wind up doing what you want to do, not what's right. Brethren, these things work hand in hand. Listen, if a part of who we are is going to be counted as faithful, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that from the Lord? Hey, listen, when you get involved in all that mess that comes up in life and things don't go well and you're in a jam and it doesn't seem like you have any answers and it doesn't seem like you make a right decision. Well, everything that I can choose, something is wrong with it, so I'll choose this one because it's more convenient or because I get the most benefit out of it. Brethren, you can't be faithful and operate like that. You can't be faithful and operate like that. Listen, part of being faithful, you get involved in that tangled web and that mess that, in most cases, you've created yourselves. And brethren, you've got to do the right thing. You've got to step up to the plate. You've got to take the consequences. You've got to be willing to take one on the chin and have things turn out a little bit inconvenient in life for the sake of being faithful to your God. And that's hard to do. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to stand up and say, well, I'm going to choose path B because path B, I may whatever. I may lose this car. I may lose this money. I may lose this job. I may whatever the case may be. I'm going to take a loss by going down path B instead of path A. But path B is right. Most people don't do that. Brother, most people choose path A every time. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to sacrifice this good opportunity. And they choose path A. And they think it's going to be a better place for them. They think down the road it's going to work better. Brother, it never works out better. It never works out better. The problem is we're too short-sighted. The problem is we're so worried about this little, you know, independent situation right here that we don't see the consequences. Remember our attitude. What's our attitude supposed to be? I mean, our attitude is semper fi, always faithful. I'm a Christian for a reason. I'm not just a Christian because it's convenient. I'm a Christian because I know that in the end, God's going to take care of me, not just because choice A, B, and C, C was the most prosperous for me, and so I chose it. I got better business connections by joining this church. Good luck. Right? A lot of people do that. Well, you know, that's not faithfulness. Right? Corporal Nashton sitting there on the bed. What does he write out? Always faithful. You know what that means? That means even in the face of injury, always faithful. That means, for a military guy, even in the face of getting your arms and legs blown off, in the face of death, in the face of losing an eye, never being able to walk again. I was down at the VA hospital the other day. We have part of our radar equipment is stationed on the roof of the VA hospital. It's a little monitor. Go out and check it. And so we went over there to the VA hospital the other day, and we were making these checks, and we have to go down into the delivery area to get access to where we need to get to in the building, because it's a maintenance part of the building, not, you know, not the hospital beds. And so you enter in the VA parking lot, and then you go down this ramp into the loading docks, which is where we had to park. And we were coming out of the loading docks, heading up the ramp, and there was this, you know, military guy. I don't know what branch of the service he was, but there's a military guy there, and he had on, from the knees down, two prosthetic legs. And he was trying to learn to walk. And this part in his physical therapy session was walking down that ramp. And I'm sitting there, because I saw him a little bit before he saw me, because we were in our, you know, we were in the work vehicle driving up, and I saw him a little before he saw me, and of course, all these things are running through my mind, right? You wonder, what did he do? How did he make it? What's going on? You know, wow. I'm thinking, this guy made a sacrifice. I'm thinking, this guy's walking on a couple of springboard pieces of metal today, because he was over there making a sacrifice for me. Kind of struck me. You know, I don't know this guy. I don't know anything about him. I don't know who he is. But I see what he did. And we're coming up that ramp, and we're getting ready to leave, and he happens to catch my eye in the vehicle, and he looks up, and he smiles and waves at me. That's pretty impressive. Here's a guy who lost both of his legs from the knees down. He's trying to learn how to walk. He's out there, and, you know, he's got these little springy, you know, prosthetic legs on. He's trying to maneuver walking down the hill, and you can tell it was still kind of new because his balance wasn't all there yet. And we're up there leaving, and he's smiling and waving. Like, hey, guys, I'm having a good time. Isn't this great? Look at me. I can do this. Faithfulness. Brother, faithfulness. Faithfulness requires a proper attitude, but, brethren, it requires proper actions. It requires proper actions. You can't live your life and face difficult situations and choose convenient outs and then call yourself faithful Christian. You can't do that. You're not faithful. Selfish, not faithful. Brethren, we're supposed to be faithful. Hey, listen, when faced with a decision, you know what? Do right. Live to a higher standard. Set yourself up, you know, you set yourself up and you look, take a look at yourself and you go, you know what? I'm gonna make myself live to a higher standard than what other people expect of me. Why? Because I have a proper attitude about who I'm serving. Because I know that who I'm serving is the God of the universe. And you know what? I can't go wrong if I try to live up to a higher standard to serve Him. Your attitude should never, never, never be, what can I get away with and not get caught? Listen, most in Proverbs 20 it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know what that indicates? That indicates, brethren, being faithful to our God is a rare quality. It's rare. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. Hey, listen, you get down to it, for you and I, we're sitting here, you know, Blessed Hope Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. We got the King James Bible out. We're Christians. We've been saved. We've been born again. We're about to serve the Lord Jesus Christ to one degree or another, however much, you know, you get involved in that thing. You know what the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 4:2? It says, brethren, we're required to be faithful. We're required to be faithful. Now I'm talking about faithfulness in terms of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's certainly what it applies to primarily. But you know what? It goes a lot deeper than that. There are many, many more things beyond that. You talk of all other aspects of life. You talk of marriage, business, how you run your finances, what you do with your time. I was over by a group of people the other day, and they were lost. Most of them were lost people, and I just was over by them and happened to, be involved in part of their conversation. And in that conversation, one of the ladies was lamenting the fact and had brought up the fact that she'd been married for a whole year and a half before she got divorced. Year and a half. I thought, wow, that's pretty wild. Now, she had lived with her boyfriends for 6 years before they got married. She got married and lived a year and a half, right? Or after a year and a half, got divorced. And then she said one of the reasons was that her husband cheated on her. And I asked, well, is that what, caused the divorce? She said, well, that certainly contributed to it. Things certainly started going downhill from there really fast. And, just kind of didn't really have a chance to say much to her or talk much to her or anything like that. It was just a passing group. But I happened to notice a little bit later on in the interactions amongst some of the group of people, I noticed this young lady over flirting with another guy who was married. And I'm sitting here going, how? 10 minutes ago, you were talking how that thing destroyed your marriage and was a huge contributing factor to losing your marriage. And now you're over here flirting with somebody else and he's married. I don't get it. I don't get it. It obviously didn't have the proper attitude. Hey, listen, obviously wasn't interested in doing things right. But brethren, where's faithfulness at? Seriously, where's faithfulness at? I mean, don't we expect the Lord Jesus Christ to be faithful to us? I mean, he's promised to be, and I'm glad that he is. And I told you I can never guess. There's no way. It's almost 10 till. We're almost have to close down. But I got a whole other section here on, what if I failed in faithfulness? What do you do then? What if you're sitting here today, what if you're sitting here today and this whole lack of faithfulness issue has gotten a hold of you? Where do you go then? What do you do? But brethren, listen, you know as well as I do, we look around the church, we see people who aren't here, who we wish were. We look around, brethren, we see marriages falling apart, and we wish they weren't. You see relationships breaking up, you see different things going on. Listen, why is that happening? Because sometimes, brethren, sometimes we forget who we're serving and what this is all about. We forget who our God is. And we let our own desires and our own priorities take precedence over just simply being faithful. I mean, simply being faithful. Standing up and doing what's right, even though it may not be convenient. Even though you may not feel like it. Right? That would cure, brethren, that would cure a lot of problems that we wind up putting ourselves through. Just being faithful. And very quickly I had, what if I failed in faithfulness? What if you failed in faithfulness? What do you do? Can you ever get beyond it? You bet. Sure. What do you have to do? You have to restart the race. You have to jump back in there. Listen, Lord Jesus Christ said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen? But brethren, what do you do? What if you're the one that had the lapse of character and faith in this area? Hey, listen, you know what you do? You go get things squared away with the Lord and you jump back in the race and you start being faithful from now on. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Listen, the Lord's looking for faithful people. Brethren, the Lord is looking for faithful people. Time and time again, the Lord said, my faithful servant, Moses. He's looking for somebody who's going to be faithful. Not perfect, faithful. And all too often, we fail in that. And I know I got to close things down here and give you a break, but you know, what do you do if you failed in faithfulness? Hey, listen, you got to restart the race. You got to jump back in there, and you got to change things around. And listen, you need to get the proper attitude for who it is you're serving, and just how important it is to be faithful in every aspect of your life. Jump back in the race, and then you got to rely on God to carry you through. I mean, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "We believe not, yet he abideth faithful; he cannot deny himself." Listen, brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who's going to carry you back from, you know, almost certain destruction. But listen, it wasn't meant to be, you know, real deep or real eloquent or anything like that here today. But I know this. I know it's easy to sit here, congregation, look around, and brethren, see where we failed. Or many of us have failed being faithful. Different areas. Maybe attendance, maybe whatever. Just different areas where we failed in being faithful. And brethren, we've lost people because of it. We've lost people because of it. And we need to think. Right? Faith is not faithfulness. Faithfulness you get by having the proper attitude. And by having the proper actions, making the right thing. Think about what it is you're serving, who it is you're serving. And don't ever forget that, brethren. Because when you forget that, it's easy for something else to become more important. And that's when the wrong decisions are made. Let's go ahead and close things down. Like I said, I still had an awful lot, but you get the general gist of things. I just know that... I know that's something that we got to watch. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to be back here. And Lord, I know that just the subject of being faithful, the truth of the matter is we've all failed you at one level or another. And Father, unfortunately, all too more often than we'd like to admit, I pray that you'd give us a vision for who it is we're serving, for what a great God it is that we're serving. Father, help us to understand the importance of being faithful. Not only to you, but Father, to one another, in our dealings with people, in our relationships, in our business ventures, Father, and just our character and just our decisions that we make day in and day out about doing right. I pray that that faithfulness would be so ingrained in who we are that we'd be able to avoid a lot of mistakes that the world seems to fall into so easily. I pray you'd help us in this area. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, let's take a break.